That's 800-318-5805.
The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join in the conversation here tonight. Stick with us until midnight if you can. We'll be on till midnight, and our telephone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. That's toll-free. You can give us a call. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. We just pray your blessing on the program. Help us, Lord, to be able to point people to Christ and help people to see the truth of your word and to be able to understand it. Lord, just pray, Father, again, that you would just use us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody as we point them to Christ tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be able to be on the air tonight. There's a lot of stuff going on at home, a lot of stuff going on in the world today. And, the government shutdown's been on a lot of people's minds. And, well, we're on the air. They didn't shut down the airwaves, even though the Federal Communications Commission, I guess, is shut down. And I was able to drive up on the interstate highway, even though I guess the Department of Transportation is shut down. And to tell the truth, personally, I haven't noticed much of anything difficult in my life with the federal government shut down. I guess that's a good thing. I know it's a serious business. I remember when I was working for the Forest Service once back in the 1980s, they shut down, I think it was about 3 days or so, and they said, well, we're shut down, so you're not going to go out and work on the trails today. And that was about it. I think that was on a Monday after being off Saturday and Sunday anyway, so we had extra day off. But I understand it can be a little more serious, and so pray for our country. Our country really needs direction. Our country needs Christ. Our country needs to get back to its founding roots, needs to get back to the Word of God. And so you got to pray for our country, pray for our leaders. And I encourage people to do that. We do so at our church, and I encourage you to do so as well. Well, if you have got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we can go ahead and get into that here today, 888-677-9673. And we have a caller already calling in, and we have David on the line, I believe. David, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
It's good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in quite some time.
Well, good to have you on tonight.
Thank you, sir. Hey, I wanted to talk about the Apostle Andrew.
Okay.
Can you tell me what you know about him? I loved it. I love him. I love him a lot.
All right. Well, let me turn over to something here on Andrew. Andrew's the brother, I believe, of Peter, and he's an interesting fellow. In fact, let me turn and find where he's first mentioned. I'm going to take a look here in the Gospel of Matthew, see if I can see him there. I know early on in Luke he's there, but let's see if we can see him here in the beginning of Matthew here. Jesus is trying to look for one in particular. Actually, the one I'm looking for may turn out to be in the Gospel of John, but give me just a moment here. I didn't have anything opened up talking about Andrew here this evening.
I'm sorry, sprung it on you, but
no, that's why we do the program, to talk about things like this and see what kind of questions people come up with, and see what people are wondering about. Here we have here's one I'm looking for, actually, in the Gospel of John. There's other passages, and I can maybe get to some of them in a minute, but I think this one in the Gospel of John chapter 1 is probably the most instructive, really. We see Jesus with John the Baptist after he was baptized in the River Jordan. And it says in verse 35 that again the next day after John stood, talking about John the Baptist, and two of his disciples, these are two of the followers of John the Baptist who were with him. And it says John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, so far, we don't have a name for any of these disciples. They're two followers of John the Baptist. John was, of course, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was getting people ready to accept the Messiah. He was encouraging people to get their hearts right with God and to follow God's word. And then when Jesus came, he baptized him and he identified him as the Messiah. We saw that right there. "Behold, the Lamb of God," which they understood to be the sacrifice for their sins. And these two disciples followed after Jesus, and they were questioning him. The Bible says that they abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour there at the end of verse 39. And in verse 40, John writes, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." And this is interesting because Andrew seems to have been probably one of the first to follow Christ.
Amen.
You know, this is kind of interesting. Peter gets all, you know, the note sort of the chief of the disciples. He certainly was an individual who was very boisterous and not afraid to, you know, open his mouth and give his opinion on things. And but yet it was Andrew that apparently was one of the first. But here's the thing that we can learn from Andrew. The Bible says that here in John 1, verse 40, "And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." And then it says in verse 41, "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus," is the first thing you read in verse 42, "and he brought him to Jesus." And this is really, you know, tremendous when you think this. Andrew's first move when he realized that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, was to go after his own brother and say, "Amen. Listen, we found the Messiah." And remember, Andrew and Peter were fishermen, and they had two other fishermen with them, James and John. That also followed Christ. Yes, exactly. But Andrew had heard that John the Baptist was out preaching in the wilderness, and he went out to listen, and he apparently spent some time and became one of his followers. And so he was there when Jesus was pointed out as the Lamb of God, which they understood, as I said, to be the sacrifice for their sins. And when he understood and was convinced in his heart that Jesus indeed was the Messiah, the first thing that we see Andrew doing is running off to find Peter, telling him, "We found the Messiah," and then he brings Peter to Jesus. Now, this is a great teaching here because
I wish we all had that spirit. Amen.
Exactly. And what I was going to say about this being a great teaching is sometimes somebody gets saved. They encounter Christ. They put their faith in him as their Savior. And, you know, they become a good, studious student of the Word. You know, they go to church, and they're faithful, and they support the pastor, and they maybe even teach a Sunday school class. Yeah, but I'm saying they're a good, solid Christian. Nothing wrong with their spiritual life. Not saying that they're comfortable or at ease in Zion or something like that. I'm saying they're just a good, solid Christian, a good, solid church member, the kind that every church needs. But sometimes that good, solid church member that doesn't go on to do anything particularly stellar reaches somebody who does. And see, Andrew was that good, solid disciple. He was always there. He was faithful. But he didn't do a whole lot of stupendous, exciting things. He reached his brother and his brother Peter, and his brother went on to do some pretty tremendous things. And that
Andrew to me, his best job, what he did, he just practiced bringing people to Jesus.
Nothing right. Much. Exactly.
That was his main objective, is just going out and bringing them to Jesus. That's it.
Exactly. Not every Christian is going to, write a book. Not every Christian is going to become a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist or a radio talk show host. But every Christian could be a good, solid Andrew Christian.
Yes.
Going out, doing the work that needs to be done, faithfully shouldering the load, putting his hand to the plow, going out and bringing
love,
people to Christ.
Brother, labor of love.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then it goes beyond that. It becomes no labor, and it's all love.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. You have a good night.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for that call. And I appreciate that call, David. And as one thing I would add to that, we all think of the Peters in our churches, those people who are lifted up into positions of honor and things like that. And we forget the Andrews oftentimes. They're overlooked. But I was talking with somebody just actually today at the nursing home, one of the nurses, that her son is just coming back from Afghanistan. He's going to be leaving the Marine Corps. And we were talking about people in the military and about how not everybody in the military sees action on the front lines. And she herself had retired from the Army Reserve. And she said that, she remembers being told that her role of support is what enabled people to be on the front lines. I said, absolutely. It's just like an iceberg. That tent that's above water that you see wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the 90% that's holding it up. And it's just like the Lord's work. 10% might be like Peter, out there in the public eye, people taking note of them, but it takes 90% of Andrew to be able to hold them up and keep them able to do the work that God's called them to do. Great conversation to start with there. Great question. And I believe we've got John calling from New Jersey tonight, calling next.
Yeah,
welcome. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to have you tonight.
Just wanted to add a tiny small thing with regards to your comments on Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
One of the wonderful things about the Word of God is that if it's true at one point, it's always true. It never ceases being true.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Lord said when he asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? When we read that passage in Matthew 16, and the disciples say, some say you're the apostle, some say you're John, and so forth. When the Lord asked that question, the first answer they gave was the wrong answer.
But to be honest, they were saying what the other people were saying.
Yes, but it's not who he is.
But it's not who
That's
Jesus really was, right?
Because the passage, the context of the passage is getting to a point. So the Lord goes and asks them, who do you say that I am?
Right.
Of course, here we have Andrew's brother Peter, quick to answer,
mm-hmm.
Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Exactly.
Well, the first one who got the revelation, because what the Lord said in context was, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who art in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same one who revealed the truth that Andrew answered. When he says, we found the
Messiah.
The one who is the Christ, the Messiah.
Exactly.
Yes. It's a revelation from God. All truth comes from above, from the Father of lights, who's without variableness or shadow of turning. If you stand in the sunlight, you turn a degree. You're going to cast a different shadow.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the Lord Jesus, in any light that he's looked at, he's the same. He's consistent. There is no variableness in him.
Right.
Because he's perfect. He's perfect.
Well, he says, I am the Lord. I change not.
And,
Exactly.
The wonderful thing about this is it isn't the things you do, it's your relationship with the one who has all knowledge that counts.
Exactly, because we all must be born again, the Bible says. We all must acknowledge him as our Savior. We have to reach a point where we realize that we need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves and accept and understand and admit, mostly to ourselves, that we deserve the wages of sin, which is death, not merely physical death, but to spiritual death in the lake of fire for all eternity. Yep. But when we confess that we deserve that, but we believe that Jesus paid that price for us and acknowledge him as God, who willingly sacrificed himself on our behalf, yeah, that's when we can receive the forgiveness of sin and the relationship with him that we need to be able to say the things like you're saying what Peter said here.
What the other thing that's wonderful about this, and in fact, you use the expression born again, the Greek word anagoneo doesn't mean born again, it means born from above, and I think that... It's an essential difference because it's God's work that makes a believer, not the church, not man. It's God working, taking his seed that has life, the capacity to give life. That's the word of God.
Right. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without the word of God, it's impossible for somebody to be saved. Exactly.
You know, and the wonderful thing about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they're great documents. Only problem is they're the words of men. It's
right.
Not the words of God.
Right.
It has no power.
Exactly. And you know, men can achieve measures of greatness by man's standards, but really all of it is vanity, as Solomon said, you know, one of the wisest, smartest, you know, most prosperous and successful men that ever lived. You know, at the end of his life, he basically said it's all vanity. It's all emptiness.
It's kind of like the first days of creation, the 7 days of creation that we read of in Genesis 1. When you look at creation, God could have made everything in one moment. He didn't need 7 days. He's not a creature of time. We are.
Exactly.
Why does he do that? Well, as I go through those days of creation, each day, it's the work that of the day that follows it that fits together like a hand in a glove. There's no disjointedness.
Mm-hmm.
There's no gears out of place. Well, why is that important to me when I look at that and I think of him as a creator? Because it says if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation.
Exactly.
And it's not the things that I do. I know people who've taught you get somebody gets saved, you give them a box of tracts and send them out a street corner. How about waiting till the Lord does work in their life and prepares them for whatever role he perfectly knows he's going to put them in?
Well, exactly, and you're right with that, John, because God places us in the body, you know, with certain gifts and abilities, certain talents and opportunities to serve. Mine are unique from yours. Yours are unique from mine. And, because God has a plan for you to serve him. We're created to bring glory to his name. And God has a plan for me. And you're absolutely right, because you were talking about being born again a little bit ago and having to be born from above, and that's what John makes very clear to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, because he used that expression, born again, and Nicodemus, who was a very religious man, very learned in the Old Testament scriptures as a rabbi, he didn't understand what he meant by born again, and he said very, very clearly there, talked about the spiritual birth, because as we're talking about that, and when Adam disobeyed God, they died spiritually. And so even though we had a physical birth where we were born physically, we need that spiritual birth. And that spiritual birth can only come from Christ, from God. Through Christ, when we put our faith in him, we hear the scriptures. God enlightens us. He brings us out of the darkness. We see the truth of the gospel. We trust Christ as our Savior. And God gives us that spiritual birth, like you said, from above. It comes from God. You can't earn it or achieve it on your own. And, that's a wondrous truth. I'm glad you brought that out for us tonight, John.
The other thing is that in his comments to Nicodemus, he said, no one has gone up to heaven but he who came down from heaven,
right,
the same who is in heaven. That's the omnipresent nature,
exactly,
of God.
Exactly.
That's a very important characteristic for us, because the one we pray to, he listens to us, unlike the politicians who claim to represent us today.
You got a good point there. John, appreciate that call. I like that. I got another caller I need to get to before the break here. And you'll have to call us back again sometime. I appreciate that call tonight. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We've got Tom on the line next. And Tom, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, Pastor.
Hey,
doing?
Tom, welcome. Good evening.
Got a question for you here.
Yes, sir.
Not too far off what you were just talking about, being born again and stuff.
All right.
Okay, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that truly saves us.
Oh, absolutely. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin.
That's absolutely right. Okay, and baptism is an outward sign of that conversion, correct?
Well, what it shows is our identification with Christ on the cross. It shows that,
we died with him in the immersion.
Right, because when we baptize, and people get confused over what baptism means and what it is, and let me just, for our listeners, clarify, there's things that people mean by baptism, and there's also the way that people practice baptism. So if I talk about the mode, I'm talking, and I believe you're talking about immersion under the water and then bringing up out from under the water, immersion and emersion. And I stress that because that's what the word in the Greek meant. It never meant sprinkling. It never meant pouring. The word baptizo and its variants gives us baptize, baptist, baptism.
And I know Baptists are very strict on that.
Yes,
and I agree.
And if God had meant sprinkling or pouring, he would have used a different word. I believe it's rantizo or something like that. And so that's what we would be doing. And then instead of a Baptist, I would be a rantist, I guess. But
here's the question I have.
Yes.
So, getting to the point, why have I heard over the years, I don't know if it's a scripture, I'm kind of thinking it is, but I can't put my finger on it. Being baptized or being born again is through the water and the word. I don't know if I've heard that in the Bible.
Well, John chapter 3, and got just a couple minutes for the break here. Let me see if I can hit that for you real quick here.
That's the question, and I'll listen in, and I'm just going to hang
All right. John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. We were talking about this, touched on this just a little bit with the previous caller. And Jesus said to Nicodemus in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's talking about heaven. "Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So Jesus is talking about a spiritual birth that comes from God, and Nicodemus is talking about a physical birth that comes through the mother. And Jesus answers in verse 5 and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then he explains that in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And anybody that understands the process of birth, the baby is surrounded with a sac that surrounds the baby inside the womb, and the amniotic fluid that's in there. And before the baby is born, one of the signs that the baby is coming is the water breaks. And that sac breaks, that water that's around the baby issues out, and then the baby comes. That is very clarified for us by Jesus himself when he says, "Except a man be born of water," and he says in the next verse, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." Because in verse 5, "That which is born," or "man must be born of water and of the Spirit," verse 6 follows an explanation, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So he says we have a physical birth. We're alive, okay? Now we need a spiritual birth. The physical birth is an earthly birth. The spiritual birth is a heavenly birth. The physical birth shows how we got into this world, but because of our sin nature, we need that second birth. That's why Jesus said born again, not physically born a second time. Nicodemus, in fact, said, how can somebody enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, it's not possible. But what we experience is that spiritual birth. When we trust Christ as our Savior, what happens then is our spirit is born from on high, as our previous caller pointed out, and that's the second birth. The born again is you had a physical birth, now you need a spiritual birth. We had a couple people at the nursing home today that had birthdays, and I said the old joke about, you know, how many birthdays do you have? Oh, you only had one, all the rest are anniversaries, and everybody laughed. But the truth of the matter is, if the only birthday you have is one, that means you only have a physical birth. And Jesus said, ye must be born again, meaning we need that second birth, which is the spiritual birth. And when we receive the spiritual birth, which comes from God, our spirit, which is dead to Christ, dead to God, is made alive, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our heart at the moment of salvation. We become infilled with the Holy Spirit, and then it's a matter of living for God and surrendering to the Word of God and the will of God throughout our life. Well, we're coming up on the break here. We've got another half hour of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. Stay tuned and give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Welcome back. back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you till midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And don't always mention it, but if you're having trouble getting us on the air, you can always tune in. The program is broadcast live on the internet at whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. And at the end of the program, some of our other information will be given. And we do put these programs up on the internet at our own website, which is Maple Knoll. Or I'm sorry, that's the domain there. That's live.maplenoll.us. That's live.maplenoll.us. And Maple Knoll is spelled M-A-P-L-E-K-N-O-L-L. And, of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church, as we said, as well as East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is the home of the homemade pizza. And East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has strombolis, sandwiches, calzones, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al. You can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. And if you're interested in opening your own pizza shop, and maybe you've looked into it and seen the high franchise fees, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus, and he can help you get settled into your own pizza business for a lot less than you might think. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school. And, of course, we are able to be here because of your prayers, and we thank you for that. That's the main thing. We don't spend a whole lot of time asking for money. God usually provides the needs, but as I always say somewhat tongue-in-cheek, if you got $1 million lying around, you don't know what to do with it, well, we wouldn't mind it. We could put it to use. I'll give our technician a little raise in there. He likes that idea. But if you got $1 million, we'll gladly help you out with that. But anyway, the big thing is pray for us. And we certainly appreciate prayers and gifts and help from God's people. But pray for us. That's the biggest thing that you can do. I could not do this ministry without the prayers of God's people. So appreciate that. Well, we'll get back to our program here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. We're busy in the first hour. Lines are wide open right now. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. 888-677-9673. Talk about a variety of things. And something else I was looking at here this evening, there was a young girl that was shot in the West Bank area here this weekend, and tragedy. She did survive it, but there seems to be an uptick in they're calling it lone wolf terrorist attacks in the West Bank area in particular. The Bible says we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and I think we ought to pray for the peace of the Middle East in general as well. And we need to be aware of what's happening there. But we can talk about that some more. But we have a caller calling in, 888-677-9673. And we have John calling in, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, praise the Lord, Pastor
Al. Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. Pastor Al, you know what I wanted to ask you about? That something I hear people talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about they draw like a distinction between, you know, someone being saved and sealed onto the day of redemption.
Right.
Understand that when a person is saved, they receive the Holy Ghost. Then there's people that will say that, well, yeah, and then you have what some people refer to as like a second blessing, saying then you be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And they seem to draw a distinction there, like, well, it's two different events. And I wonder about that, because one of the verses I've seen a lot mentioned is in Matthew chapter 3, in verse 11, where the Lord says, "I indeed baptize you with water under a that's John the Baptist. I'm sorry.
Right, John the Baptist saying that.
"He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And I've heard that explained. They say, "Well, see, that's talking about that second blessing, being baptized with fire." But I think that's saying, if I'm having the correct understanding, he's saying someone either gets saved and they're baptized with the Holy Ghost, or they're going to be baptized with hellfire.
Well, actually, if you break that down a little bit, John's ministry was to get people ready to receive Christ. And he talked about, you know, the Old Testament scriptures, and he talked about repentance. And I think in Luke, I think I want to say about chapter 6 or so, he talks about how they should bring forth fruits, you know, that illustrate their repentance. He was talking about how the soldiers should be content with their wages rather than, you know, stealing from people, and how different people ought to be upright in their business dealings and all. And so if you have listened to the scriptures, of course, he was preaching out of the Old Testament scriptures, and they realized that their heart was not right with God, that they had sinned and broken God's law. They were to repent, which was means they were to confess their sin and turn to God and ask for forgiveness and ask for mercy, understanding that the wages of sin, you know, is death. They understood the concept before Paul later wrote it, you know, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so they were baptized with water. John the Baptist, that was his name, because baptized meant to immerse. He lowered them under the water when they came and made a public testimony of renouncing their sin and turning to God. And then when Jesus came, he said, as I said in the first half of the program, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he also was pointing out that she taketh away the sin of the world. And so John is saying here that he's baptizing with water under repentance. When people turn from their sin and they are turning to God, he was baptizing them in the water as a result of their repentance. But he's saying there's one coming. He's talking about Jesus, who's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But let's take the first part of that. Baptize you with the Holy Ghost meant he's going to immerse you into the Holy Ghost. And that happens when you get saved. I don't know why people can't see this, because when you understand that the word baptize in the Greek means to immerse, to overwhelm with something, we understand that when we get saved, we're put into Christ and we're put into God. God is, Jesus is Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is God, and Jesus is God, and the Father is God. God is one being who manifests himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when we receive Christ, we also are, the Bible says, Jesus said he would baptize us with the Holy Ghost. And remember in John, I think it's chapter 16 or 15, where he said that he needed to leave, and when he left, the Comforter would come. He's talking about the Holy Ghost, and he would teach us, and he would bring us into knowledge of truth. And here in John chapter 16, and Jesus said that he needed to go in order that the Holy Spirit would come. And I'm just trying to glance through here real quick. So that I can.
Verse 11, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
Right.
He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you of things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you.
Yeah. Now, look back in chapter 15 and verse 26, where Jesus says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And so Jesus had to ascend, because God was working in the world through the person of Jesus Christ, through the person of the Son. God was working in the world. And so he needed to ascend up into heaven. And remember, there's a transition because we're going from the Old Testament economy to the New Testament economy, and the Word of God has not been completed yet. There's a number of things that were, in a sense, just like when somebody starts up a business or starts up a church, there's things that you do in the beginning that you don't have to do again because you do these things to get things started and to get things going. And so when Jesus gave his final instructions, he ascended up into heaven. Then, after he had ascended up into heaven, the Holy Spirit was sent. And now when we trust Christ as our Savior, from that point on, the Holy Spirit indwells you and dwells me, and we're immersed in the Holy Spirit. We're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And because we've received the Holy Spirit, we're in him and he's in us. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you trust Christ as your Savior and you don't receive the Holy Spirit, you can't be saved. Paul says that very clearly in Romans chapter 8. In fact,
man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Right, exactly. And that's talking about when we get saved. He's talking about saved people. We have to have the Spirit in us. He says there in verse 9, Romans 8, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and it's right there. It's given to us very clearly. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God that's in us, and we receive the Spirit of God when we trust Christ as our Savior. And so now we're in him, he's in us, and as Paul wrote over in 1 Corinthians, that we become the temple of the Holy Spirit here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us when we trust Christ as our Savior. Now, in the early church, of course, on the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit filled the church, the disciples there. We see the disciples along with a number of other people were there in the upper room. Mary and the brothers of Jesus were there. Remember, many of his brothers rejected him and did not believe that he was the Messiah early on. And then later on, of course, they did. And so they're identified as being there in Acts chapter 1, along with the other disciples, and then the 12 minus Judas, of course, and they voted on who should replace Judas, and I believe the lot fell on Matthias, and they were to tarry there until they were filled with power, and the Holy Ghost comes on them the day of Pentecost. They went out, and they spoke in various languages, and the people there heard them. They marveled that these people who weren't educated were speaking in the various languages, and identifies a number of languages, people who were there in Jerusalem for the celebrations of the holidays. And from that point on, we see the progression, of Christianity and the filling of the Holy Spirit into first the Jews and then the Samaritans and the Gentiles and things like that. And now today, we're fully in the New Testament time after the transition period of the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Ephesians 4:30 says we're sealed until the day of redemption. That's sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. He sealed us until the day of redemption. He's not going to lose us. We're sealed in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Let's see, Ephesians 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. And so we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and we ought not to, because the Holy Spirit's in us. And when we disobey God and we go contrary to his word, then we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. When we go places that we ought not to, God is with us, and we're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. When we look at things that we ought not to, we're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. We're supposed to, on a daily basis, be filled with the Spirit, which means He's in us, but we need to allow Him into every part of our life. And I can't tell you how many times that I've been told as a Baptist, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. I don't teach on the Holy Spirit, and I don't think anything about the Holy Spirit. I don't know how that comes about. All I know is whenever the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit at our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, I tend to preach through books. And whenever I come to a passage that talks about the Holy Spirit, I preach on it. And whenever the Bible mentions the Holy Spirit and I come to that part in our study, I spend time on it. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God right now. And so the Holy Spirit... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Pastor Al, I don't mean to interrupt, but just like to say, like you said too, though, people say that, they think they want the Holy Spirit to give them like gifts of speaking in tongues and that sort of thing. They're looking for those kind of experiences. But John chapter, I think it was 16, where he talks about the Holy Spirit will take the things of Christ and show them unto us. He's not saying he's giving gifts and things. He's saying he's showing the things of Christ. He'll speak of Him.
Oh, yeah, and that's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And the Holy Spirit empowers us for service. And whatever area of service He might give us, there's a whole lot of areas that you can go to, you know, with the Holy Spirit and what He does and how He empowers us. I'm not sure exactly where we're headed to right here at this point, but hopefully we're covering what I was covering what you were interested in.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't.
No, that's okay. I might have got a little off track. I was kind of worried about that.
Some people, they when they say that, well, you mentioned that, they say that to you as like a Baptist. They say, well, you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. People tell me that, things like that, too. They say, well, you don't understand, you know. And they're looking to, they want to have the real kind of gifts that they think, well, you get to speak in tongues and these type of things, and that's what you're supposed to be doing, and that's the Holy Spirit's work. And if you don't have that, you haven't had that baptism in the Holy Ghost.
Well, and you I think kind of touched on it there when you said they want the things that they want, and I always come back to this, the things that God gives to us. In in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is very clear about this. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, I mean, I could not open this Bible up and teach and preach from it if I did not believe in the Holy Spirit, because Paul told Timothy all Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. And even Peter wrote that the holy men of old spake as they were moved by, the Holy Spirit. So I couldn't do this if I didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at what Jesus says very clearly here in verse number 4. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there's a variety of gifts that God gives, but they all come from the same Spirit. And then he says there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, these different gifts can be administered in a variety of ways, and they come from the same God, the same Spirit. They come from the same Lord, the way that they're to be administered. And then he says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now notice what he says very clearly here in verse 8. This is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit of the Word, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. Okay, that's one manifestation of the Spirit in one believer's life. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. There's another manifestation of the Holy Spirit in another believer's life. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. That what this plainly says is that the Holy Spirit is giving a variety of gifts to a variety of individual Christians. Some Christians get one gift, some Christians give another gift. But in each case, it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's not a manifestation of man's spirit, it's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. He says in verse 11, here continuing on, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, but all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. He refers back to the Spirit. All of these manifestations of the Holy Spirit, they come from the same Spirit, and they're divided to every man severally, meaning independently, separately, distinct from what you get or what I get. Everyone is, it's done separately. To every man severally as he, meaning the Holy Spirit, will. God is the one who decides what spiritual gift or ability you get. That's not up to you to say, oh, God, I must have this gift. I must have that gift. Now, it's not bad to desire a gift, but ultimately the gift comes from God. And then he says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and as all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So he goes on, giving the illustration of a human body, in verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the analogy here, of course, is if you have this gift and I don't, can you say, or I say, well, I must not be of the body of Christ. I don't have the gift that you have, or you don't have the gift that I have, so therefore you must somehow be lacking. No. He continues on, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. See, there it is again. It's up to God what gift you get. It's up to God how you're going to be set in the body there. And they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body? Everybody in that's saved has spiritual gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. And they're determined by God what gift you're going to have, what spiritual gift. And you can ask for certain spiritual gifts, but if God doesn't want you to have it, you're not going to get it because it's not for you. The ear, he says in verse 21, cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. And he goes on talking about this, and we're running out of time here, but let me drop down for time's sake to verse 27. I encourage people to study this chapter. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. And Christ has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. And he says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of the miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Obviously, the answer is no. And then he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I would suggest the best gifts is the gifts that God has for you. We're out of time, and thank you for listening. Join us again next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications. Look.